Friends, this morning, Pentecost Sunday has come as no surprise to any of us, I trust, and it's not just because of the announcements in the bulletin or from this pulpit or in our newsletter, because for over a month now, we have been getting ready. That phrase has been a title in my sermons, and while last week Chrissy's sermon title didn't include, she was also preparing us for this something special. For what? For this morning. For this day. For this new opportunity. This is, as we are well aware of by now, a very special day in the life of the church around the world. It is, of course, Pentecost, traditionally celebrated as the day the church was born almost 2,000 years ago. Now, it's a minor holy day compared to a few others throughout our year, sure. But since the very first Pentecost, or at least since the first time that Pentecost was celebrated as Pentecost, this has been a day of celebration. The day on which the church, the body that gathers in the name of Jesus Christ, Christianity itself, announces itself to the world. Now let me unpack that just a bit. Christmas's birth and Easter's resurrection rebirth are our biggest holy days. But these observances are really more insider celebrations. The pews fill up with on those holy days, but they fill up with other insiders who already know the stories of the Christian faith and just can't seem to shake them off completely. Now, even those insiders who may not find their way here many other times of the year get here on those days, but Pentecost is celebrated, I believe, for outsiders, for those outside looking in. Listen for the word of God in our reading this morning, this Pentecost passage from the second chapter of Acts. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?'" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
On this day, you see, the world looks on. From the very first day in Jerusalem, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and Libya, Rome and Crete and Arabia. To this day, the world looks on. And it's with that sense of outsiders looking in on us that I have a powerful sense of this day and what this day could mean for all of the days that follow. For the rest of our lives, if we ever really get serious about our faith and its call to share something worth listening to. If we ever get serious about sharing something more than platitudes to the world, cliches about how worm-like humanity is, or about who's in and who's out, or absolute certainties about what the Bible has to say about the latest so-called social malady, and about some imminent destruction and how that is part of God's ultimate plan for the world's salvation. These, my friends, are not messages or teachings worth listening to or following. If we don't believe that, then ask yourself why the nuns, N-O-N-E-S, are increasing every single year. More news about that only in just the weeks past. The outsiders are looking in and concluding the same thing as the world thought on that first day. That last verse in our reading that I didn't read out loud. They're concluding they're drunk. Filled with new wine, the NRSV Bible translates. They are intoxicated, in other words, with their moralistic certainties and their misinformed constructions of truth and interpretations of power. And fewer outsiders are listening. In fact, fewer and fewer insiders are listening. Here in our congregation, in our community, during our worship hour each week the past month, we've been preparing for this day. We have been getting ready by asking and answering questions about ourselves and our God and our call in the world with words that outsiders, and again, many insiders too, might just want to listen to. Do you remember some of those questions? Who are we? We've asked from the inside. We are revealers of the love of God. Is that what the world sees in us? And experiences through us? What is this God like, we've asked from the inside? Well, our God is like the one we follow. Jesus, the Christ, nonviolent, non-punitive, full of peace and promise, hope and love, capital L, love itself. Is that what the world sees in us and experiences through us? How do we share this God with others? We ask from the inside. We do so through a community called the church. The church that is called not just to say that our God is love, but to work in the world, to show the world that this love is the only thing that will save us all. Is that what the world is seeing in and experiencing through us? And finally, we ask, how do we worship this reality, our God? And we decided, well, I did in my sermon and I have in my own life. I'm hopeful that you are doing so in yours. We decided that we worship our God by living our life, our whole life, and not just this hour we set aside on Sunday morning together, doing justice and loving kindness and walking humbly with our God and with one another, with all others. Is that what the world sees in us and experiences through us? Do you remember all of that preparation? Those questions, those explorations, and those answers, they weren't just words intended to fill up about 13 minutes of our worship hour. They were and they are messages to get us ready for this day. The day that the world looks in and wonders if there's anything here worth listening to, let alone worth participating in. I've been trying to get us prepared for this day so that when the world looks in on us this time, they hear something worth listening to and they wonder something more than, are they drunk? Because that is exactly the response that Christian faith is getting from onlookers today. Spiritualists who aren't necessarily religious, secularists who are trying to make sense out of common human decency. We're speaking in tongues to a growing percentage of men and women, young and old in our own country, who can't or who don't want to make any sense out of anything that we're saying. I'm trying to get us prepared for this day and every day that follows, so that when the world looks in on us this time, they hear something worth listening to and find something worth living for. Today is a special day in the life of the church and in your life and mine as members of the church, or it can be. This Pentecost day in the church, even more than Christmas and Easter before it, can be a day when the world looks in and sees a life and hears a message worth listening to. God is here. God is love. We are love, and our lives are lived finding the holy in everyone. Now, I'm not at all sure that this is what is happening around the world, even in our own country and Christian communities, even in our own county. But I want to work very hard in the summer months ahead to ensure that this love, this radically inclusive love and promise, is what outsiders and what all of you insiders are seeing and experiencing here in this place. I'll conclude my hopes and this message with the story of possibility and promise, one that may be somewhat familiar. What an inside will see looking in depends in great measure on what we see when we look around. There's an ancient account of unknown origin that tells a story of a holy place that had fallen on hard times. Let's call it the church. Many of the younger folks had left in dissatisfaction, and no one knew was joining. There were only really a handful of folks, many aging, and their leader, an aging pastor, remaining. They had begun to argue among themselves, becoming complacent and even a bit lazy, each blaming the hard times on the faults and the failings of the world itself, and even on each other. And then one day a traveler, an outsider, stopped in for a night's rest. She ate and prayed along the folks that were still a part of this community. The next day, as the traveler was preparing to continue on her journey, the pastor drew her aside. He told her of the problems the church was having and asked her for her observations and for some advice on what might be done, what might be said to the ones who were still here. Upon hearing the pastor's woes, the traveler was quiet for some time and then said, "Well, no one is going to listen to my advice, surely, but perhaps they would benefit from an observation. I think the holy dwells right here in this place." "One of us?" the pastor asked. "Which one?" "Well, that I cannot say," she answered, "but share this with all those here, and maybe in time it will be revealed to you." So the pastor thanked the traveler and sent her on her way. He then gathered the community together, and all listened in amazement to this news. "One of us? But who?" they asked aloud. Then to themselves they wondered, could it be Larry? Maybe Sally, or Peggy, or Debbie, or perhaps it's the youngest among us, Ariana, Kaylin, or could it be me? And soon strange things began to happen in the community as each began to see the holy in the other and to hear the sacred in each word spoken. And soon after that, outsiders looking in began to wander back into the community. And in time, a few joined this church and began to thrive again. And friends, so we will. When we remember who we are, how our God is, and how we share that God through our worship with our lives. These preparations only scratch the surface of what can be, of what needs to be, of course. We'll continue all summer and beyond to more deeply understand the mystery of our God and the holy in our midst. But today, as the world looks in, may they see joy and hope and promise and peace and justice and righteousness and humility and love. Now that's something worth seeing and following. Come, O Spirit, dwell among us. Come with Pentecostal fire. Give us all a stronger vision. Help us face this crucial hour. Amen.